Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 22nd, 2008. This week, we're heading out to the sea. Well, we're actually staying right here in the studio, but thematically, we're heading out to the sea. We'll tell you about a fish with a devious but successful strategy for getting a mate. And we'll visit the Hawaiian Islands, where seabirds are pairing up in an unusual way. But first, Suzanne's going to try to convince you that even though fish are slimy and covered with scales, you might actually speak the same language, in a manner of speaking.
Recognize that sound? If you don't, you're not the only one. Most people haven't heard the territorial call of the male midshipman fish, or any other kind of fish for that matter. But behavioral neuroscientist Andrew Bass of Cornell University says that many kinds of fish actually communicate through sound.
Fish, just as ourselves, make vocalizations. That is, they're making sounds which have social meaning. They make different kinds of sounds in different social contexts.
Working at the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, he and his colleagues identified the area of the fish brain that's responsible for producing sounds.
And what we then found is that that collection of neurons is in a similar position as it is in other vertebrates, including ourselves. And this is located in a part of the nervous system that is essential to both our ability and their ability to vocalize.
So what that means is, drumroll please. You guessed it. Fish could hold the key to the origin of vocal communication in all vertebrates. Me speaking to you now, you might have to thank fish for that.
Nearly half of all living species out there are fish, and probably most of them are vocalizing. And so we then suggest that, in fact, this part of the nervous system that is involved in vocalization probably evolved long ago when fishes first evolved themselves. You would be able to hear these sounds when swimming, and often many people have probably already heard them and didn't realize what they were. For those who are fortunate enough to ever done snorkeling or maybe even scuba in an area where there's a reef, they probably heard a lot of noise, especially if they were out there at night near the reef. And a lot of those sounds were probably coming from fishes.
So the next time you're at the beach, listen carefully. You might just hear your ancestors calling.
Thanks, Suzanne. Strangely compelling, isn't it? Kind of like the call of the wild. Oh, okay, maybe not. Well, speaking of our connection to fish, Swedish scientists say they found a new evolutionary link between fish and land animals. They discovered a fossil they called Ventastega. The long-extinct animal apparently looked like a big, toothy salamander with shoulders and pelvis that are perfect transitions between primitive fish and modern land animals.
And in other fishy news, lionfish are a popular inhabitant of saltwater aquariums. They're beautiful and have venomous spines, which tends to make them great conversation starters. They're native to the Pacific Ocean, and predators there can tolerate their venom and keep their population in check. But lionfish have now been introduced by some unwitting soul to the waters off Florida. They're breeding like cats and gobbling up millions of smaller fish. And some of their favorite snacks just happen to be fish that nibble on the algae which smothers the coral reefs if left unchecked. So one charming little alien species is ruining it for everyone else. Scientists are now thinking about introducing one of the lionfish's natural predators from the Pacific to control the invader and save the reefs. Of course, they can't be sure what else those fish might eat.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, our next story isn't about fish, but rather an animal that loves to eat fish, and lots of them, in order to fly vast distances and raise their young. The Laysan albatross once nested on the northwestern tip of Oahu in the Hawaiian Islands, but human activity drove them away until the 1980s, when they became protected by law. New birds gradually rediscovered the area and started reproducing. But when University of Hawaii Honolulu zoologist Lindsay Young and her colleagues recently sampled their DNA, they were in for a surprise. Turns out, two females account for almost a third of the nesting pairs in the area.
Laysan albatross are sexually monomorphic, which means you cannot tell the sexes apart. And so the only way to really get at that is to genetically sex them. And I think that's why this behavior was sitting under our noses all along. We just didn't know that it was two females. You always assume that when you have two birds reproducing together, that it's a male and a female. And it wasn't until we went into the lab that we realized we had two females.
She says the female pairs successfully raise chicks together that are fathered by males in the colony. Apparently, they've been following one of these pairs for nearly 19 years, long before they realized that both birds were female. She explains that females were the first to recolonize the islands and still significantly outnumber males.
There's a skewed sex ratio, and in this species, they need two parents to raise a chick, and because there are not enough males to go around, there are too many females. The next best alternative is to pair up with another female and raise half as many chicks as a male-female pair, but that's still better than not pairing at all and not having any chicks.
Finally today, Suzanne has another unusual mating story, this time about male mollies. She says when it comes to finding a mate, these fish are definitely not coy.
That's right. Once they find a female they like, they chase her constantly and try to mate with her. But scientists writing in the journal Current Biology report that if a second male is introduced into the fray, the first male will leave his favored mate and start chasing another less desirable female. That gets the new male interested in her. With the interloper out of the way, the first male sneaks back to the female he really wants.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week.
What, no bad fish jokes?
Nah, I'm floundering.
Okay.
So, next week, we'll switch gears entirely and cover new developments in the fight against cancer. We'll report on a surprising new treatment for leukemia, a technology that lights up tumors to improve surgery, and research into literally sniffing out skin cancer, which could help doctors detect the disease much earlier. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We'll sniff out a fascinating new science story for you every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. And don't forget, we love answering your science questions on our show, so give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT with that nagging question. If we answer it on the air, you'll become the proud owner of a genuine Science Update Smarten Up mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.